Well, thanks for joining me. It's great to be back.
It's great to pray with you. I want to thank Maggie, who took the mic while I was gone and, of course, led the prayer. And look, even though I wasn't with you, my cell phone goes off every day at 3 p.m., no matter what time zone I am in. And I pray the chaplain. I do remember you every day in a special way. And I'm grateful for your prayers. And just so many people still writing with petitions and answered prayers. Let me just share. I want to share just a couple quick couple emails that came in while I was away. I was just going through them before the broadcast here. And I think they're worth talking about. God is working in a really powerful way to bring about healing. He's working in a very powerful way to bring about answered prayers. And just want to thank him for that. This person says, I want to give you a praise report. I asked for prayers for my wife's sister who had a blockage in her colon. She was in almost constant pain. She couldn't eat. She couldn't drink. She lost almost 50 pounds. And it says the doctor was able to remove this blockage. And Drew, she feels so much better. She's eating and drinking, has no pain, almost no pain. And the doctor sent her back home yesterday. I want to thank God for all of your prayers and all who prayed the chaplet with us. Another person writes, just this morning, I asked for prayers for a newborn baby who was having breathing problems. Found out now she's doing great. She's off oxygen and is going home tomorrow. Another person says, hey, on Friday, I asked you to pray for Tom in the ICU. I was able to pray with him Saturday evening and agreed to have a priest come in and anoint him. Just want to say, praise God. I want to thank you for your ministry. My life has been changed through the Holy Spirit working with those at Relevant Radio. Vicki, thank you for that. One final one here, and then we'll take a few of your calls. It says, answer prayer. My husband was working on a very difficult car issue last evening, and everything was going wrong. One thing after another, he said that he should have been done several hours earlier. So I prayed. I prayed to Jesus, Mary and Joseph, St. Michael, some other saints, and asked that things improve. Drew, you often talk about the power of prayer to change things. Well, within 10 minutes, the car problem was solved. I want to thank Jesus and all the saints. And that's such a simple but such a great email. Sometimes in prayer, and you might be discerning something right now, and it might be really a hard decision to make. Sometimes in prayer, that spiritual landscape clarifies. It clears. The fog dispels. You're able to see the path the Lord wants you to take. You know, sometimes in prayer, you might say, I don't know what to do. Maybe there's a medical condition you're facing or an economic choice you have to make or a relationship decision you have to make. Prayer resolves things, and sometimes in the most amazing, amazing ways. I look forward to praying with you. Let's pray that God resolves those situations, those issues, that he clarifies your landscape, and that you can report those answered prayers as so many people are doing every single day. I pray today with Maggie. It's great to have her with me on the other side of the glass here. Maggie, anything you want to start off with or lift up?
Boy, I want to pray in Thanksgiving that you are back safe and sound.
That's hilarious. That's great.
after a week of the chaplet, I'm like, this is not for the faint of heart.
People love you. I can't tell you how many emails I get. People love when you pray, Mag.
That's very sweet. That's very sweet, but you've got a gift for it.
It's a blessing. Well, I am grateful for you. I'll share one more answer prayer too. This person says, my son Thomas suffers inoperable stage 4. The throat. Help me with the word.
Esophageal.
Yeah, that's it. Esophageal. I couldn't get the word out of my mouth. Cancer, diagnosed 2 years ago. I spoke it to you, Drew, in the past, and I've been wanting to report the miraculous progress. Well, I got a report just a week ago. He had an experimental treatment. The tumor was frozen, and it was partially removed. He's going to undergo this procedure again in July to remove even more. I see this as a real answer to prayer. So thanks be to God and to all the prayer warriors. Amen. And this is another important aspect of prayer, and then we'll pray together. You know, sometimes God uses not the supernatural, right? Sometimes God uses the natural to bring about an answer to prayer. It can be a new procedure, technique. You know, it can be somebody else that comes into your life. I mean, medicine I often see is a gift. Our intellect is a great gift of our Creator, right? And when we can use those things together, God can work out situations that seem to have no way out. So let's pray right now for you and for all of your needs. I want to pray for everyone who's been writing in on petitions as well. And We'll just lift you up and we'll begin today. And, oh, by the way, Maggie will take your petitions too on Twitter. It's at Drew Mariani Show. All right. So if you don't get through on the phones, because I know they fill up instantly, go ahead and send them to Maggie. She's monitoring the show page at Drew Mariani Show. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
You expire, Jesus. But the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, we will take our first call today. It comes from Ron, who's praying with us in Los Angeles, California. Hi, Ron.
Hey, Brother Drew. Quick things here.
Sure.
I've got a pine tree that had some damage, and a miracle on it is that the branch didn't snap off and take out some power lines and cars underneath of it, and my house included.
Wow.
I'm also in need of a financial miracle. My body is aching. I took a fall earlier today. My right hip's a mess.
No.
My family matters are all broken up. So help, help, help.
Yeah. Well, we're going to pray for you, Ron. I'm glad you got through today. And, I'm sorry for your fall. We'll certainly pray for your healing. But let's pray for your finances, too. You know, I'm going to write a book one day on God's providence. I have seen the Lord come through in situations. I reflect on it sometimes on how magnificent his providence is, and how astounding and amazing, how surprising it can be. God can resolve your finances. He can turn them around in a second or through a series of blessings and events you don't even see coming. Lord, I pray for all those. And I was praying about this earlier today as I was driving into the studio. For those who are struggling financially, it really robs you of your hope. It really is hard sometimes to pray. It's really hard when the numbers just don't add up. You say, this is not reality. There's no way. I don't see how it's going to happen. You may not see the way it's going to happen, but God does. And I mean that. God does, and God can do it. It was St. Rosa Lima who said that without the burdens of afflictions, it's impossible to achieve the heights of grace. And the gift of grace increases as our struggle increases. And that can be with your fall. It could be with your finances. But these are grace-filled opportunities for us to really trust God and to pray big, and to really ask him to come through with his mercy. And Lord, that's what I do for all those who now are united with me in prayer. I pray for broken families, for troubled finances, Lord, for the aches and pains of the body. And we pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Naperville, Illinois is next. Marcia, good afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon, Drew and Margaret. Thank you for all your love to us and everything you do.
Nice.
And I know we're supposed to be brief, so I'm asking for a miracle for a man named Steve Sandman and his family. Was diagnosed yesterday with cancer and in a hospital. And we're resisting that and thanking God for a healed family, everyone back in the church. And our son lost his job, a miracle for him and his girlfriend. And everyone back in the church with repentant and converted hearts in the whole world.
Amen. Amen. I like that. And you don't hold out a small cup, do you? The whole world's there. I love that. You know, I love
it. We're learning from you.
Well, Marcia, when I was a kid, it's like a childlike prayer. And dear Lord, please help everybody in the whole wide world. I'd pray as a little boy, right? Yep. And the same thing. Let's pray for that conversion. As I was praying today, I was praying for the conversion of our country's leaders and of world leaders and for those that we love. So it's one of the most important prayers for us to pray is a prayer for conversion. And I know God always hears it. Those graces will come to those that we are praying for. Lord, I do pray for Marcia, for those, for all those who are in need right now of your mercy, for those who are sick, for that son that has lost his job. I know when you close one door, quite often, Lord, you open another one. I just pray for just a big, big blessing here, but I give you every one of Marcia's intentions, and I unite her request with all who now turn to you and pray with me. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, before we go to Teresa, who's in Philadelphia, let me first go to Maggie, who is taking all of your intentions off our Twitter page, and that is at Drew Mariani Show. Please follow us there, at Drew Mariani Show. Follow me at Drew Mariani as well, and on all of our social media platforms. Maggie, what's coming in?
We've got a couple of in-house requests first, Drew, before I get to Twitter. Chris Flood wrote to us. She said, "Hey, it's me requesting prayers again for my brother, Paul. We just found out last week that he has metastatic melanoma in his stomach, lungs, liver, gallbladder, and brain. Please pray for Paul to receive the best care possible and for myself and my other siblings to cope with all of this." Wow, Chris, we're praying for you and your whole family.
Sorry, Chris.
We're lifting up your brother, Paul.
Her family, Chris, this is Chris Flood, right, who wrote to us, has been devastated by cancer. It has run through that family. It's taken more lives. And Chris, my heart goes out to you. We're going to pray big right now for that.
Yeah. Our other producer, Tom, wrote to us over the weekend. He had sent an email. He said, my son Peter sent me this request from boot camp, from a boot camp buddy of his. He says, this is just unimaginable. The prayers for Carter Greenway. 17 of his friends have committed suicide, and his wife has been cheating on him.
Oh, my Lord have mercy. What a dagger in the heart.
Wow. Lift up Carter for prayers. He's going to need some fortification. Joe and I also found out that someone in Park Ridge died suddenly this weekend. His name was Joe Brown. Mm. He was a musician that played at a lot of the restaurants and bars in the area. And I'm not really sure what the state of his soul was upon leaving this earth. So I want to pray for the repose of his soul. He was a good man. Michelle wrote to us and said, please pray for the repose of Gabriel Jr. and Santos Jr.'s souls. They were cousins, 13 and 22, and for their families as we bury them this Friday. A horrific car accident to a family of nine, and the man who hit them literally ran away from the wreck.
Oh, no.
Can you imagine? Wow, no. Some of these intentions are so palpable. They're so powerful. Chris needs prayers for his neighbor Alex, who's in desperate need of caregivers. He's at his wit's end and extremely stressed. We need lots of prayers. He says, thank you and God bless. Charlene wrote to us and said, my mom, 84, was just diagnosed with breast cancer. She'll be scheduled soon for surgery. Please pray for complete healing from this cancer. Jesus, I trust in you. And Cindy wrote to us and said, oh, shoot, I lost Cindy's text. Oh, here it is. No, that was Cindy's text about the mom with breast cancer. My apologies. Sure.
Well, we'll lift up all of those intentions. And I know a lot of people who have not been able to get through on the phones or, you know, weren't able to tweet us. We're all united together here. And let's lift them up. 17 suicides. It was crazy. Maybe later this week we'll talk about that. We'll have that the priest we were talking about come back. He says in his parish he's buried more people under 40 than over 40. And it's tragic. In fact, Teresa, who's in Philadelphia right now, has a special intention, I think, for her son. Teresa, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew, and your prayer warriors, of course. Yeah. Drew, I'm just worried about my son. I know he takes some kind of heavy drug, and he caught doing a few things, stealing some things. He got caught, and everybody's looking at him like he's really not worth a dime of the day or whatever, and he said he can't handle it anymore, and I'm trying so hard.
Teresa, you there? I think your call dropped. Can you still hear me, Teresa?
Yeah, very well.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. You dropped out for a moment. So your son, is he contemplating suicide? Is that what you were saying?
Yeah, he mentioned it this morning. You know, no sense living. You know, everybody's against me because he did wrong. He went and he took a few things and they you know, so they're all looking at him and treating him like I don't know what, Drew. And I can't handle it. He just feels like he's, you know, worth nothing because they're making him feel that way. Like they're not sinners, but yet they're sinners as well.
Well, Teresa, look, as a mother, I can't even imagine.
It's so hard, Drew.
I can't imagine. I mean, just cannot imagine the thought of a child. I pray to God quite often, Lord, please don't ever let me know what it's like to lose a child. Please, especially through suicide.
So, and he would be my second one, too, Drew.
No, your first son took his life by suicide?
Yeah, the first one, he got it. Yes, he got in with the wrong crowd.
Oh,
and,
no. I'm sorry.
You know, I believe it was just traced with fentanyl, and I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, would be my second.
So he died by a drug overdose, your first son?
Yes, he, you know, went in the bathroom, and that was the end of him. He just, you know.
Yeah, well, let's do this, Teresa. You've got a lot of people praying for you. And as a mother who's lost a child, I want you to know how much my heart aches for you. And I believe prayer changes things. You know, St. Teresa of Avila said that God is so full of compassion, so full of mercy, right? That he never fails those who are afflicted or despised if you trust in him. And, you know, I know your son's going through a difficult time. Prayer is going to, let's put that blanket of protection around him right now, right? My philosophy in prayer is that the greater, the more persistent my prayer is, the more abundantly God's going to hear it, right? So I'm going to pray big. We're going to pray for the conversion of your son. We're going to pray for the healing of your heart. We're going to pray for his situation. Lord, you promised that through prayer and fasting, we can find ways out of situations that have no way out. So I just give you those who face these situations, those with suicidal ideations, those who've lost children and loved ones. I just ask for your mercy as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our need, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, next call comes from Levine, Arizona. Manuel, good afternoon.
Hello, Drew. I'm asking for all my prayer warriors to pray for my cousin Raul that just found out last week he has stage 4 colon cancer, but also it traveled to his liver. And today, this morning, he started his first dialysis. So I'm asking everybody to pray.
Well, we're with you right now, okay? We'll lift up your cousin. Lord, I give you Emmanuel and all of his personal needs. I know he didn't ask for anything. We give you his cousin with colon cancer. Pray for anyone who's having the fight with cancer now, Lord. Those who have these life-threatening, debilitating diseases, those who are sick. But Lord, I just pray that you vanquish this disease as you did with leprosy, that you heal those now in the fight with cancer, and that you comfort their family, you fortify and strengthen them. And I give you the sick. I gather them now to the foot of the cross, and I pray, Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Greg is listening to us in New Mexico. Hi, Greg. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. How can we pray for you?
I need prayers for my daughter, Anna. She is a preschool teacher, and she has passed all of her licensing exams except for the math exam.
Wow.
Math and her are not friends. and
that's tough.
And she's taking this test for the third time.
Yeah.
So, and she was getting really discouraged about not being able to pass it. So, need prayers for her to help her to get past this.
Well, let's pray.
And with a passing score.
Yeah, no, I love it. That's a great prayer. We'll pray. Let's pray right now that anxiety will go away, right? And she'll have confidence when she takes that exam and that her mind will be illuminated. Lord, I ask right now on behalf of Greg, as a father interceding for his daughter, I ask that when she faces that exam again, that the Spirit descend upon her, that her mind be open, that the problems are easily resolved and solved, and that she passes that test and she can fulfill the vocation that you are calling her to. And I pray for all those who are facing exams that are concerned or qualifications or, Lord, who face these complex issues where they have difficulty or struggles. Be with them, support and fortify them. I want to pray for Diggy. He just tweeted us and says, I have scabies, really bad, and continuously itching since last Wednesday. So he's really tortured. He says, could you ask the Lord to send me some relief? Lord, we intercede again. And I just say, I pray from this moment forward, from the moment of this prayer, that itching be mitigated and that those scabies begin to disappear. And I just ask right now for your healing touch on him. Mary is in Phoenix. We'll grab her today as well. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Drew. Thank you for taking my call. I'm calling today on behalf of a little 3-year-old girl whose name is Ariel, who was taken from a plane directly to Phoenix Children's Hospital. And she has, I think it's called MIS-C, or maybe Kawasaki disease, and she's not doing too well. So we would like everybody to pray for her healing, because I know Jesus can do that.
Amen.
And I also would like to pray for the spread of the message from Our Lady of the Flame of Love of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Thank you so much, Drew, for what you do. I really appreciate it, and I know everybody out here is praying with you.
Amen. Well, Mary, thank you, and we'll ask Our Lady under the title of the Flame of Love to intercede for us. I know it's a very powerful devotion, but Lord, I give you baby Ariel. I just ask, you said, bring the children unto me. I bring this daughter to you. I ask you embrace her, and I ask that you heal her. And for anyone whose children are ill, for all those kids in the NICU, the PICUs, all those who are facing critical situations, I give you them. I give you finances and health, and I give you relationships, and Lord, I give you conversion. I pray for our country that you protect it from degeneration, from disaster, from disease, from war. I give you the hearts of all who are now united with me. And I turn to you with confidence, with trust, with thanksgiving as I pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Champion.
Pray for us.
Mother of Mercy.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Pray for us.
Our Lady, Reconciler of Peoples and Nations.
Pray for us.
Virgin, Most Powerful.
Pray for us.
St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
St. Faustina.
Pray for us.
St. John Paul II.
Pray for us.
St. Peregrine.
Pray for us.
St. Jose Maria Escriva.
Pray for us.
St. Patrick.
Pray for us.
St. Boniface.
Pray for
us. All you angels and saints.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much for praying with me. Such a powerful, such an anointed prayer. Do me a favor, if you could, over the course of the week, tell just one other person about this prayer. Just one other. Say, why don't you join us, okay? I'd love to see our spiritual family continue to grow. I know great things are in store. I know many answered prayers are coming. If you have an answered prayer, email me. Drew@relevantradio.com. Drew@relevantradio.com. Mark an answered prayer, a praise report, and I'll share it. And of course, keep sending those prayer intentions as well. We want to pray for you. I'm going to take a short pause. When we come back, we got a lot to get into. A couple bizarre deaths on this day. Not bizarre. Two big figures. My next guest is an expert on both of them. We'll talk about that and a lot of other things. So stay with me.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
Hey, if you're in the market for health insurance, well, our sponsor, the Catholic Order of Foresters, is here to help you and your family find the most cost-effective health plan. Learn more at relevantradio.com/Forester. Yeah, wow, that's the first time I've heard that rejoin. That's a classic, though. Hey, good to be with you today. Thanks for joining me. I'm Drew Mariani. A lot to get into today, and, well, we could talk really about anything. I was looking at the calendar just a little bit earlier today, and the big news regarding debt ceiling, a lot of other things. But you know what today is also? And we spoke a couple weeks ago, I think it was a couple weeks ago, to Dr. Paul Kengor about the assassination, or about Robert F. Kennedy, his assassination. And we also talked about, you know, Kennedy who's running for office, but it made me think June 5th, 1968, right? That was a day that Kennedy, known as RFK, was very prominent in American politics, like his brother, like the whole Kennedy family. He was serving as a U.S. Senator from New York, and he was a leading candidate at the time for the Democratic nomination. This was back in 1968. And I believe it was on this night in 68 that he delivered a speech at the Ambassador Hotel in Los Angeles, California, and following, you know, his victory in California's Democratic primary, you know, it was a fateful night. He exited the stage, and he was shot multiple times by Sirhan Sirhan, and that was something that shocked the world. The poor Kennedy family. I think of how it's almost like the family was cursed. I never saw so much tragedy besiege one family. But he was rushed to a hospital, succumbed to his injuries, and I think he died on the 6th. But today was the day he was shot. Dr. Kengor is here with me. He's an expert not only on Kennedy. Today's also the anniversary of the death of Ronald Reagan. I think he died on this day, and I think it was 04. But Dr. Kengor, welcome. It's good to have you back.
Yeah, hey, Drew. Staying alive, as the Bee Gees song says, right here in Happy Pride Month to you. Oh, yeah. And, you know, it's our culture has one day that it dedicates to Jesus and Christmas, December 25th. But we get a whole month to celebrate the first and worst of the seven deadly sins, pride, which was the sin of Satan's rebellion. So, happy Pride Month.
Yeah, no, thank you for that. Appreciate it. Yeah, we were talking a little bit earlier.
You're telling me to give you an uplifting greeting. So there you go.
Love it. And we were talking in the first segment just a little bit about the MLB, about the Dodgers, about, of course, the Biden administration flying the Pride flag at a Vatican embassy. And, Kohl's and Target and Walmart and all these other companies doing the same thing. In fact, coming up in a little bit when you and I are done talking, I don't know if you saw this, and you probably have already seen the video, but a colleague of mine sent me a text last night. He says, hey, did you see this Twitter? They're streaming What is a Woman? And my wife and I actually watched it last night. It was about an hour and a half, and it's, again, it all ties into this type of stuff. Did you get to see that by any chance, What is a Woman?
Yeah. Well, I've never seen the full video. I saw the clips of it. And, it's Matt Walsh does an amazing job with it. And, you know, all of this with the Dodgers and everything else, people who are shocked by it. I mean, look, you celebrate Pride Night and Pride Month in Major League Baseball. And the letters of that are LGBTQ. And, you know, the T. And that stands for trans. And in fact, the Q stands for queer. And the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence describe themselves as queer and trans nuns.
Wow.
So, you know, if you're going to invite them to your ballpark, not just on Pride Night, but literally give them your Community Heroes Award, then, this is what it is. And it's not a big leap from, drag queen story hour for the kids at the local library to Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence at the Dodgers ballpark. And when they're not celebrating it in June, look at the NHL. NHL was celebrating it, February, March, whatever it was, and pouncing on NHL players who wouldn't wear the flag, the rainbow logo on the uniform. I think it'll get to a point where the culture maybe just turn it into Pride Year. And you can just celebrate it every day of the year, all year long. But don't wish anybody a Merry Christmas.
No, I was saying the same thing, though. A little bit earlier, I made the observation that, Christmas, after Thanksgiving, Black Friday, Christmas shopping would go into effect, at least when I was a kid. And now it begins before Halloween or right after Halloween, right? Your Christmas trees are being sold and all these things. We haven't even celebrated Halloween and they're selling this stuff. Pride Month's the same way, right? It was started out as a week. It expanded to a month, and the last couple of weeks of May, we're seeing the ramp up for this thing and the activity towards it. I don't know how long that continue. I don't think it'll expand anymore. I mean, Bud Light has lost $26 to $27 billion. Target lost $12 billion in its market cap. I mean, it's just these companies are getting hit, yet they continue to go down this path.
They're still celebrating it, Drew. They're still celebrating it. I mean, Bud Light got hammered for using Dylan Mulvaney, right, as a spokesperson, but they're still celebrating the Pride stuff, and Target is too. Target was only targeted, pun intended, right, because of the Satan T-shirts, but Target is still celebrating it. I walk into my Walmart here in Conservative Grove City, Pennsylvania, and they've got Pride shirts here at Walmart.
Wow.
So, they're doing it everywhere, and the Dodgers are still putting out their Pride emblems. My latest piece of the American Spectator on this, MLB's Cultural Revolutionaries, I note that I think it's 29 baseball teams celebrate Pride Night. I think the only team that isn't is the Texas Rangers. So, the culture has gone full bore on this. This has become the new secular holy day, and it's a holy month for the culture. And again, it's the irony that it would be Pride. Pride, Drew. It's the first and worst of the seven deadly sins. Yeah. Pride. I mean, this is Satan's vice, right? This is Satan's rebellion. It's not a virtue. that the culture would embrace this and invert the rainbow, God's rainbow of all things of the symbol as their symbol. I mean, this is astonishing that, yeah. that this is happening. And it really is.
And that's corporate America, right? But I look at the administration too. You know, you've got the Biden administration, the U.S. Embassy to the Holy See is actually flying a pride flag at the embassy building in the Vatican during the month of June. And, of course, a lot of Catholics have been, you know, they're outraged by this. The month of June is, you pointed out, of course, is the month of the Sacred Heart. And yet the U.S. celebrates it as Pride Month, you know. And it's to me, it's a disgrace. And it makes me think about our leadership. Will this change? I don't remember this as being as rampant, you know, in previous administrations. Maybe I'm wrong, and you might have a better sense of that.
It changed under Obama. I mean, that was, you know, to quote Barack Obama, I think it was about 3 days, I think it was October 30th, 2008, before he was elected, and it was in Columbia, South Carolina, and that's where he said that, you know, we are, I think he said, 3 days away from the fundamental transformation of the United States of America. And it happened under Obama. Yeah, I remember writing pieces for National Catholic Register and others about listing, you know, the something like 40, 50 pages of the from the Obama administration's website, boasting about all the things the administration had done on LGBTQ stuff. And I think the literal sign of the fundamental transformation was when the Obama White House illuminated itself in the colors of the rainbow on the day of the Obergefell decision. And I remember, Drew, getting a phone call from somebody saying, you're not going to believe this. I know you're already upset about the Obergefell decision. Immediately wiping off the books 50 different states' marriage laws, right, and creating a national federal law for same-sex marriage. They said, but you're not going to believe this, but the White House is literally illuminated in the rainbow colors. Mm. And I laughed, and I said, come on, don't do that to me. I have had a bad day. And he said, no, I'm serious. Look at it. Look it up. And that was the symbol of the new America. Yeah. That, you know, that's where we completely changed and where I think short of quite literally the second coming, we're not turning this around.
It's funny. I was at Mass this morning and the gospel was about the parable of the vineyard the owner and, you know, they kill his son, the tenants that are working there. And he sends first, you know, I think a servant, then ultimately his son to get killed. And one of the aspects of the homily that the priest gave, he talked about how God is patient with us, right? Even when we sin, even when we stray, even when we do things that are wrong. And he sends warnings in the Old Testament there. Of course, he sent prophets. He ultimately sent his son, you know, for our redemption. I was thinking about that in light of this situation. I just wonder, how tolerant can God be? How many warnings are we going to have before God's justice came? Because what happened in the end? You know, scripture told us that, you know, the master is going to come back and he's going to put those people to death. They're going to be cast out of the vineyard, right? What's going to happen to this country when we light up the White House in those rainbow flag colors, right? When we are indoctrinating our children with this stuff, when we're forcing, you know, procedures on them, when we're rejecting life and marriage and redefining these things. I don't know, just from a spiritual perspective, have you ever thought about that? I mean, as a nation right now?
Yeah, how much is enough? I mean, when the Dodgers give, you know, the Dodgers of Vin Scully, Tommy Lasorda, Mike Piazza is a devout Catholic, Gil Hodges, Jackie Robinson was a devout Christian, Sandy Koufax, an observant Jew, Branch Rickey, a very devout Methodist. And when they give community hero awards to a group of quote unquote nuns who do pole dancing on crosses, who hold a hunky Jesus contest, a Foxy Mary contest, right? You got to wonder, when is enough? It's just so beyond sacrilege.
Yeah.
It's so beyond absurdity and blasphemy. But when you go down this road of fundamental transformation and you start celebrating LGBTQ, again, this is the Q, this is the T, you have 70 different gender options. The plus at the end of LGBTQIA plus is the cover all of this stuff. This is the inevitable consequence we are living in to quote Pope Benedict XVI, the dictatorship of relativism. This is it. This is what it looks like.
It is. As I said, I watched that Matt Walsh documentary the other day, and ultimately the whole confusion over biology and sex versus what they call gender construct is reality. I mean, the people redefine their own reality. You know, you are mm-hmm. who you want to be.
Right.
And Benedict XVI was right. We are in this dictatorship of relativism. It's about 15 minutes before the top of the hour. I think just a short pause. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Dr. Paul Kenger. If you want to join us, feel free to. We got a few moments, but love to hear from you. The number is 888-914-9149. You can call now.
Hey, if you're in the market for health insurance, well, our sponsor, the Catholic Order of Foresters, is here to help you and your family find the most cost-effective health plan. Learn more at relevantradio.com/Forester.
The boys are back in town. The boys are back in town.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, it's great to be here with you today. Thanks for joining me. We'll grab a few of your calls if you're in hold and do my very best to get you on. The number to get into the conversation is 888-914-9149. I was just talking to Dr. Paul Kenger, who writes for The Spectator, and you can actually check out a great piece. Maggie, open your mic very quickly. You just are posting right now the piece we did on, or the Dr. Kenger wrote recently on was it RFK? What's the title of that again? I don't have it in front of me.
No, this is MLB's Cultural Revolutionaries.
Talking about Major League Baseball. Yeah, the graphic on that is crazy. And Doctor, I want to thank you because I know you mentioned the show a couple times in that article.
Yeah, I talk about taking calls from your listeners last week. And in fact, I remember the time they were urging people to, and I write about this in the article, to write to MLB's offices and call MLB's offices. And as I said there, I encourage them to do that, but I don't know if it'll make any difference because Major League Baseball supports this stuff. And I still think they should protest anyway, but they support it. And I also pointed out that MLB is not against boycotts because remember, they boycotted the city of Atlanta. They pulled the Major League Baseball game, Major League Baseball All-Star game out of Atlanta in 2021 when Rob Manfred, the commissioner, didn't like what the Republicans did with the election integrity laws in Georgia back in 2021. So MLB is basically kind of like a partisan liberal Democrat organization. They sided with Stacey Abrams and Joe Biden on the election issue in Georgia in 2021. And they're right with the Dodgers and all these other groups on Pride Night and Pride Month in June 2023. Yeah, this is what we're dealing with.
Let's grab a few calls for Denise is in Chicago. Denise, good afternoon. Thanks for waiting.
Thank you, Drew. The Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, it's this desecrated video of the crucifixion of Christ where I can't even describe what they do in the video. I tried to post that video on Twitter today. They said, inappropriate.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Cut it right off.
Wow, it is inappropriate.
Cut it right off at the knees and said, no, you can't post this.
Wow.
And it was right under, I'm sorry to say, Father Martin's endorsement of all of Pride Month and how it coincides with the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And I just said one thing. Pride is one of the seven deadly sins.
Yeah. That's your point, Doctor, right? And we need to pray for Father Martin, that's for sure. For anyone who buys into this confusion, I think we're living in a period of great diabolic disorientation, a lot of confusion out there, that's for sure.
And there's a nun, too, Drew, who headed the New Ways Ministry Group, who and Pope Francis praised her as a valiant, courageous woman. Is it Janine Gimrick? What's her name? She's supporting this group, too. And she said, well, after all, they help the poor in their community, right? They do good things for the poor. Tony Esselin wrote about this for the Catholic thing. He called her the Sister of Perpetual Indulgence, this particular nun. And it's just outrageous. It would be like saying, Hitler was bad, but, Hitler supported a big welfare state, right?
Yep.
Or, slave owners were bad, but, they went to church on Sunday. They read their Bible, right? I don't care if the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence help poor people in their community. They pole dance on crosses, right?
These are
dudes with hairy legs and high heels and beards and mini skirts who hold Foxy Mary contests. They are not community heroes. That's nonsense.
Yeah, no kidding. Denise in St. John, Indiana. Good afternoon. You're on there with the air with Dr. Kangor.
Hi, Drew. You know what? It's like a coincidence. I was just reading on, I think it's a Catholic League thing, about the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence that both the Dodgers and the Dodgers, their rivals, another team, both have supported this for years. I thought this was all brand new. So these Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence have been around for decades?
I don't know how, long, have they been around for decades, literally?
Yeah, they've been around for a long time. In fact, I can't confirm decades, but I just read the same thing. I read that they've been around for decades. So I don't know exactly how long that's gone on, but let's say they've been around since the 80s or 90s or whatever. Yeah. They just have to wait for the culture to come around, Drew. Right?
Yeah, no kidding.
They just had to wait for the fundamental transformation of America for a Catholic in the White House who could come forward and say that trans people are the soul of the nation, honoring Trans Visibility Day and calling trans issue the human rights issue of our time. So they just needed the right group of cultural revolutionaries to take over the White House, take over Major League Baseball, take over corporate America. And, here we are, 2023, in the dictatorship of relativism in New America. And now their time has come, baby. Welcome.
No kidding. Yep. Hey, Denise, thank you for the call. I appreciate you joining the conversation. Janice is in Minnesota. Hi, Janice. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you, Drew and Dr. Kangor. I just think this is the time for Catholics to wake up. To me, we have got the quote, like you said, the quote Catholic, devout Catholic in the presidency running this country, not really, but anyway, and completely going against Catholic teaching, is 100% for abortion. Transgender brings the guy into the Capitol, into the White House, and says, "We've got your back." I mean, what is wrong with Catholics? Now Pride Month, this is absolutely, how about Catholic Month?
Yeah.
How about Catholic Year? And now I just called United Airlines, my Chase card, and they're trying to promote, Pride, you can get Pride perks or something if you use your card for this month.
Wow.
I said, that's it.
Wow.
Pull that with me. Yeah. I'm out of here. I'm Catholic. No go.
Good
so
for
we
you,
have the Catholics got to. Yeah, Catholics got to push back. And I called our bishop. I said, excommunicate this devout Catholic, Biden, and we wouldn't even be in this problem the way we are right now. You'll get some courage and step it up.
Janice, I love your passion. She's fiery. I love it, Doctor. It's true. We need to hold all Catholics accountable, including the executive, the president, who, his administration, just they delight in this. To her point, though, here, it's like she called her credit card company. I mean, everywhere you go, you're being inundated with this type of stuff. It's hard to escape it.
Well, they shove it down your throat. And, I bet her company doesn't give Christmas perks or Easter perks, right? But this is
right.
The political left wants to politicize everything, right? The Boy Scouts, baseball, the NHL, football.
Yep.
I mean, ESPN is flying a gay pride flag outside of their headquarters.
Mm-hmm.
I talk about this in that article, MLB's Cultural Revolutionaries. ESPN puts out a major sports pride guide that lists all the different things that all these. It's become the new secular holiday, holy day, holy month of all things.
And they
ruin the Boy Scouts. They ruin sports. And then, and you ask them, some of these groups, it's like, what do you care what the Boy Scouts are doing?
Right.
You're not even having kids, right? What do you care about this? They just want to destroy it, Drew. They just want to take it down. And then when people on our side say, you know what? I'm not going to the ballpark anymore. Yeah. Well, they don't go to the ballpark either. And then in the end, they just destroy the sporting event for everybody. They want you to take your kids to the ballpark in June and have to deal with culture war politics.
Yeah, leave our kids
alone.
And
this is what they do. They politicize and ideologize everything. It's sickening.
No, I could not agree with you more. You know, I had mentioned in an earlier segment in the show today that there was a time, I think it was the 30s, the 40s, it may have been the 50s at the time, they had a league of, what was the league again? The League of Catholic Decency, I think, or League of Decency.
Right.
And it would hold Hollywood accountable. So, you know, they had to be very careful about what kind of films they put out. They didn't want to offend the sensibility of Catholics. Right. I mean, we've got a hierarchy here. You know, you think about the infrastructure of the Catholic Church, unlike any other, you know, and this is not to debase anybody else, but, you know, you have dioceses all across the country. From those dioceses, you have all these churches and parishes. Right. You've got this outreach that if you wanted to motivate the Catholic base, we could be a united force. It would be amazing. I think we need to resurrect that League of Decency or get something going so we can stand up and make a difference. I'm going to give you final thoughts. I've got about a minute for you, Doc.
Well, they see people like you and I as, you know, transphobic troglodytes who deserve a beanball.
I love that.
Right? As far as they're concerned.
I love that.
And they look at our president and they say, well, you have a Catholic president who supports all of this. You know, this is a problem of you guys. You guys are bad Catholics. You need to be a good Catholic like Joe Biden and support trans month.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, doctor.
Fly the flag from the Vatican, baby.
Doctor, we got your article up on our Twitter account, so it's going out to everyone. If you haven't read Dr. Kanger's article, please do check him out at The Spectator as well. And what else are you working on, Doc? Anything?
Oh, a number of different things, but yeah, you could check out my articles there at American Spectator.
I'll leave it there. We'll talk again soon. Stay with me. I'll be right back.